Welcome back to EcoTalk and to this edition of our EcoTalk Partner segment. This Partner Corner is brought to you by Earth Justice. Earth Justice is the leading national nonprofit public interest law firm working to protect clean air and water, wildlife and wilderness for all of us. Founded as the Sierra Club Legal Defense Fund in 1971, Earth Justice protects our environment by forcing government agencies and big industries such as timber, mining, oil and gas interests to obey environmental laws. We're joined this time by Kristen Boyles, a staff attorney in the Seattle office of Earth Justice. Thanks for joining us, and there's some good news for a change in the world of salmon.
Well, I think there is some good news, Betsy, though it's, of course, comes with some bad news as well.
Always. I guess we have to learn to appreciate the good and separate it out because most of it seems to be bad. Give us an update. We've been hearing about a lot about you know, the plight of the salmon, and apparently there's even more news. Apparently, I guess salmon runs have plummeted from 1 million fish a year back in the early 1990s to fewer than 30,000 counted this year. And three consecutive years of such low returns of adult salmon forcing the likely closure of commercial and sport fishing in all areas where Klamath Chinook salmon might be caught. And if that occurs, it would be one of the largest and most costly fishery closures in West Coast history, affecting 700 miles of the Oregon-California coastline. What's the significance of this?
Well, it's hugely significant. Let me back up a second to remind people where the Klamath is, because it's not a name that springs to everybody's mind. Klamath is a large river in southern Oregon that flows into northern California, and it used to be the third largest producing salmon river in the lower 48 states. And the numbers you gave of the decline to fewer than 30,000 fish expected to return to the river this year is exactly right for the Klamath, and that is such a tremendous decline that they are talking about closing the whole Oregon-California fishery to commercial fishing and potentially recreational fishing, and that is such a blow to the fishermen, to the tribes that are in that area that have fishing rights, to the coastal communities that depend on the economic ripples of fishing, and then to everybody who really cares about wild salmon and wild rivers, to say that the river has gone down to this point that we can't even have the fishing of a species that until relatively recently was quite healthy there.
And what are the primary factors behind this plummeting?
Well, there's the primary factors are really two, though there's a lot of little factors. And the two factors are on the Klamath, upstream, there is a huge government-run irrigation project which takes a great deal of water out of the river, and it doesn't take a lot of biological sense to know that fish need water, and that when there's too much water taken out of the river, there's simply not enough water in the river for fish, both for migrating and for spawning and for rearing. The other problem in the Klamath is also there are four hydropower dams, antiquated dams at this point that produce very little hydropower, that block hundreds of miles of potential salmon habitat and also cause the river to be warm and slow and therefore harmful to fish.
Now, of course, for many of our listeners, salmon is what's for dinner. So how will this move affect the consumer of wild salmon?
That's right. I think it will affect the consumer this summer. If the closure goes through, as is expected, there will be no local wild fish from Oregon and California. And that's important to people who really care about eating not just wild salmon, but the local wild salmon and the salmon that comes from places we know. There will still be wild fish from Alaska, and that's a good thing. The price may go up. But I think it's most important to realize the Klamath is not an isolated example. The Klamath is what we're talking about today and this month. But habitat destruction and dams and taking too much water out of rivers is a problem for all the West Coast rivers. And we must not let this situation be a foreshadowing for what's going to happen to the other West Coast rivers and up into Alaska if we as consumers of wild salmon want to continue to have this delicious, healthy food to serve our families.
And briefly, what's wrong with farm salmon before we get to the good news here?
What's wrong with well, there's two different. Farm salmon has problems. Most of it is not a local product. They have to be fed enormous amounts of food, so it's depleting other fisheries. They're also usually fed antibiotics and pesticides, and the food is often colored to give the fish the nice pink color that they don't get naturally because they're not in the wild. Farming can also have huge impacts on the environment where the fish are farmed, just fish wastes into small areas. There are some farms that are better than others, but in general, it's just not the same as those fish that have been out there swimming in the wild and coming back as healthy food for us all.
So the encouraging news on the salmon front?
Well, the encouraging news about the Klamath is twofold. The first is, after several years of litigation, we've had a recent court ruling which sets a minimum floor for the amount of water which must be left in the Klamath River to protect coho salmon. And coho are actually a threatened species, and they are not a commercially fished species, so it's not the same species we've been talking about earlier. But the coho requirements often dictate what's going to happen in the river. That floor will help make sure that we have enough water in the river for the fish to survive and recover, and that's very good news for the future and future planning. The second piece of good news comes in proceedings in front of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission about the relicensing of those four dams on the river, where the federal biological agencies have strongly recommended that those dams be decommissioned and come out, and that if they are not decommissioned, that they have to have full fish passage, meaning that there has to be very expensive fish ladders built at all four of those dams in order to open up what is estimated to be about 360 miles of prime salmon habitat. For the federal government in this relicensing process to take that really strong stand is very remarkable.
And so the Klamath could be the canary in the mine, and hopefully there'll be some lessons learned from this.
I hope so. I think that's right. I think that maybe we can look at the Klamath and make sure that doesn't happen with the Columbia snake and with the rivers further up into Alaska.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Kristen Boyles, a staff attorney with our partner, Earth Justice. If you've been inspired and informed by this week's program, we welcome you to join our current sponsors in supporting EcoTalk, made possible again by the generous support of Earth Justice and the NRDC. Want to thank my producers, Debbie Friedman and Shauna Weber, without whom this program would not be possible. Want to also invite you to go to our website. We can find out more information about today's guest topics and our partners, and that's www.ecotalk.net. Go out and have another great green week. Spread the green gospel. Would you?